No doubt you heard in the news recently of the death of Gwenda Wilson, the actress who played the role of Aunt Laura. It came as a shock to the cast, and we feel sure to many of our listeners. For the time being, however, we'll continue to hear Gwenda Wilson as Aunt Laura, because The Archers is recorded well in advance. Radio 4. Our morning service today is a celebration of Mass from St. Mary's Priory, Stamford Hill in London. The celebrant and preacher is Father George Earle.
In those days, of course, all the corn was cut by binders, which cut the straw off at the base, tied it in bundles or sheaves, and then spat them out onto the ground in rows behind it. And we used to walk behind the binder, picking the sheaves up and stacking them into stooks of 6 or 8 sheaves to dry in the wind, before we carried them away to build them into ricks in the stackyard. And this left short stubble with a lot of spilt corn on the ground. Everybody was happy. The neighbours let their Christmas cockles out onto the stubbles to glean and grow fat for nothing. And wild birds flocked there in thousands. Pheasants and partridge thrived on the stubbles all winter. Well, it was ideal for partridges. And my old boss always invited a small party of his pals to have a walk round Artrim on September the 1st. Now, I was leaning on our gate last night, thinking of the good old days, and of how things have changed since then. What stubble there is now is often up to your knees, because combine harvesters can thresh much more quickly if they chop the grain off just below the ears and leave the straw as waste. So partridge and even pheasant can't walk through the stubble because it's too high for them. And if they're set properly, combines don't spill as much grain as the old-fashioned binders did. So there ain't much to glean for those birds that do struggle through. And even the stubbles are often ploughed again within a few weeks of harvest. So there'd be nothing to glean even if they walk round on stilts. As a matter of fact, there ain't many partridges to glean nowadays, because they've almost got into the rare bird class. You see, their nesting places went when the hedges was grubbed out, and chemical sprays kills the insects the chicks eat, and the weeds they relied on for seeds, too. So we shan't be shooting many partridges this year. We should treat them as rarities, and leave them be in the hopes that they'll multiply again in time. It's all very worrying, of course. But even that seems to be in the fashion, because Doris had got a right attack of the worry guts, too.
And don't keep on saying you don't want to worry.
Well, you don't.
I know that. You think I enjoy it?
Eh?
Nobody wants to worry any more than anybody wants to be in pain. You just can't help it.
Well, I reckon you can. Stop worrying, I mean.
If you're not worried about your family, it means you don't care about them.
Well, that doesn't follow at all. Hey, you going to sit out here while I make the coffee?
Well, that'd be nice.
Oh, well, sit you down then. There you are.
I wasn't at all happy about our Lillian, you know.
Aye, so you said, about 500 times.
She seems so on edge. I thought I noticed it once or twice when we were there at Christmas.
What? You never did.
I didn't say anything, of course. No point in looking for trouble. There's quite enough as it is.
Oh, you are cheerful.
I'm perfectly cheerful. It's just that I can't bear all this unpleasantness.
What unpleasantness, for goodness sake?
Well, Brian being so unkind to our pet.
Quite within his
and
rights.
And Jack Woolley not putting himself out to help Paul.
Well, why should he?
And I'm sure Phil's making a mistake the way he's going on at David.
Look, love, there's nothing you can do about any of it. You want to heed what the vicar said in his sermon. Take no thought for the morrow.
Oh, I know all about
that. Sufficient unto the day.
Exactly. It's the evil thereof I'm trying to do something about.
But by wearing yourself stiff?
That isn't what I'm doing at all. I'm turning it over in my mind, trying to find something I can do. That's not worrying.
Oh, I pass. I'll make us this coffee.
Oh, look, here's our peg. Hello, dear.
Hello, love.
My, you two waste no time in getting away after morning service.
I decided to leave Laura to it. She was dead keen, so I let her get on with it.
I was going to ask if you'd like to come and have a cup of tea with me this afternoon, but you'd gone before I could get round to it.
We saw you deep in conversation with Brian, so we didn't hang about.
Poor Brian.
You won't say no to a coffee, I'm sure, Peg.
Oh, lovely.
Brian being repentant.
Not exactly repentant, Mum. After all, he was quite right to tell me to mind my business.
A mother can't help being anxious to do the best for her son, though.
I think perhaps I was being a bit over-eager. It's all smoothed out now, though, and Brian's falling over his feet to be nice to me.
That's only because Ralph went about things in such a funny way, ringing up and asking
Brian. Well, that's water under the bridge, Mum. The main thing is that Tony's got the chance of a lifetime, and I don't want him to miss it.
That's only natural, Peg. I've just been trying to get Dan to see that I'm not making a fuss over Phil and David, but he thinks I'm worrying for nothing.
Is Phil very fed up about David not getting all his A-levels?
It's only his maths, and he can take it again. It's just that Phil says David's so lukewarm about it.
And that's not like him. It was Kenton who was always...
I know. And see how he's blossomed. What our Phil doesn't seem to realise is that David does worry. In fact, he takes things to heart. But just because he can't explain his feelings, Phil thinks he doesn't care. But he does.
Kettle's nearly boiled. Only instant, Peg.
Only? The price it's getting, that's almost a luxury.
Yes, we're cutting it out some mornings, but we do enjoy a cup after church.
Have you solved all the family problems, then?
Hardly. I think I'm going to have a word with Phil on the quiet, though. I mean, David's always been keen on the farm. He's ever so upset he hasn't got his math so he could go on this course at Reading. But he'll get discouraged if Phil goes on the way he is, and that'd be such a pity. I don't care what your face is. We should have brought Lucy.
Don't keep on about it. Anyway, she didn't want to come.
Of course not. Well, you brainwashed her into thinking how nice it would be to keep Granny company.
Yeah, well, your mum always spoils it with too much ice cream.
Look who's talking.
Huh?
You've had ice cream, two sorts of wine, jacket potatoes, donuts, hot dogs, and a great dollop of candy floss.
Yeah, that was just me letting off steam.
What? Eating all that lot?
No, the candy floss. That thing is, I don't like it, really.
Then why on earth?
Oh, because places like this make me want to let my hair down. Yeah, it's all the crowds and excitement. In your road, I didn't see you holding back exactly.
I didn't make a pig of myself.
Yeah, well, did you or did you not agree to skip a sit-down lunch and just have snacks, as the fancy took us?
I didn't mean stop and buy summer off every stall we passed.
Sit-down lunch would take too much time, you said. Best use every minute.
Well, there's not many Sunday afternoons we can get away together.
Yeah, well, that's why I thought young Lucy'd enjoy herself more at your mum's.
But everybody seemed to have brought the children. She'd love the children's farm.
Oh, I know.
And the miniature railway, and the bus ride, and the fun fair.
It's all right. I get the message.
Oh, look.
Huh?
Welcome to the Church's Flowers Festival. I want to see that.
Oh, no. Leastways, you go, love. I'm plunking down here.
Shan't be long. I love flower festivals.
Yeah, well, take all the time you want.
But I thought it was the horses we came to see.
Yeah, of course. We could have a quick shuffle at the fashion parade, couldn't we?
We can't see everything, Michelle. You can say that again.
Never seen anything like it. And the drive over from Ambridge. Just like those pictures of England we have on calendars back home.
I don't believe it.
It's true. Old England Shakespeare.
I mean, I don't believe that's superb.
I was wondering when you'd notice me.
What are you doing down there?
Oh, I'm taking the weight off my plate. Well, fancy you two being here.
Dad had some free tickets. Elizabeth wasn't keen.
Huh?
Mum's thinking of nothing but Paris.
And David's watching cricket.
So, here we are. Did you see the show jumping this morning?
No. Polly and me didn't get here till after two. Oh, I couldn't leave Nora and Betty to cope with the lunchtime rush by themselves.
You've soon got yourself exhausted.
Yeah, well, Polly's been trying to see everything in 5 minutes, you know. She keeps saying, oh, we must see that, Sid. In between saying, what a pity we didn't bring Lucy.
Look, Shula, the next fashion parade's 3:30. We could make that easy. We must see the hour of horses, though. And the show jumping starts again at 4:15. What say we split up then?
Oh, risky that.
Not if we agree a time and place. We both want to be at the festival concert, don't we?
I'll say.
Poldells wants to go and watch him rehearsing that melodrama. And Mariah Martin, or Murder in the Red Barn. It's been recorded from here tomorrow.
Hey, shall we go and hit the villain, Michelle?
Okay.
Sid, come on. You must come and see this flower festival. It's got...
Oh, hello, you two. I've seen you.
Just what we said.
Yeah, and I'm seeing no flower festivals. Thank you very much.
And I've seen a cookery demonstration I must go to.
What did you two girls decide about splitting up?
I guess that's what we better do.
Yeah, well, did you hear that, Polly? I think we should split up too.
We should what?
Well, we'd only end up seeing nothing, probably. Anyway, it's much better than sitting in an airport waiting for a plane, pal. Huh?
Yeah. Still, I've hardly seen any of the flower festival yet. I came back for you, Sid.
Sorry, love. If I go indoors at all, it'll be into them big cattle sheds to see the craftsmen at work.
Oh, I'd like to see them. Well, so would I, really. Hey, there's all sorts there, aren't there?
Yeah, I'll say. Well, the programme mentions wood carving, glass blowing, spinning, weaving.
Didn't you say something about a blacksmith's forge?
Oh, yeah. I get all sorts of ironwork and horseshoes.
Oh, I'd love a lucky horseshoe as a souvenir.
What are we waiting for, then?
Right, come on, then. There's only one thing I'm sorry about.
Yeah, everybody, all together. It's a shame we didn't bring Lucy. Never mind, love. We will. Another time.
I almost think this is my favourite time of year.
Huh? What's that doing?
Oh, sorry, Paul. You're much more interested in gloating over your fish, aren't you?
Oh, it's all happening, Chris, darling. I can hardly believe it.
You've certainly got cracking.
Well, timing's critical. These 7-inch champs have got to be up to size and ready for the table in the freeze by October.
Hmm.
collected quite so many.
It's no use nibbling at it. The profit lie in quick turnover with enough trout to make it worthwhile.
Seems odd to think all these little fish are going to buy our bread and butter for the next 12 months.
They will, Chris. Or at least they'll help.
I'll say this for you. No one can call you unenthusiastic.
I'm not the only one. Purses offer to help every day, bank holiday or no bank holiday.
So he's caught your enthusiasm.
You can't help it. No, I find the whole thing thrilling. Seeing the thousands of eggs grow into small fry and then into trout in just under a year is very exciting.
I don't think you've ever been so keen on anything.
You're right. And by the way, you're wrong, too.
Wrong? What about?
When you said I was far more interested in gazing at my 7-inch fish than doing what you were doing.
What was I doing?
Breathing deeply and looking around at the harvest.
Yes, I know.
You know, it's almost my favorite time of year, too. These crown of the year days when the fields are golden with stubble and the barley's been gathered in and the corn's about to follow. Ah, that's what it's all about.
Hmm?
You know, I nearly died some days, cooped up in that office. But the summer and the thought of the fields in spring and harvest time, well, they'll pull me back into the country where I belong. And it's given me something to work for that I can put my heart and soul into. That can't be back, can it?
Well. That's another bank holiday over, Prue.
Oh, some holiday. Still, we had our treat on Saturday night, didn't we?
We nearly didn't. You reckon the whole idea was a waste of time?
Well, I changed my mind. Ladies' privilege. Oh, it was a lovely evening. Sid and Polly did us proud.
Dan and Doris enjoyed it, too.
Oh, all through today, when things were getting a bit hectic, I kept reminding myself how lovely it was.
Ah, well, we must do it again.
Next year will be quite soon enough.
I'll try and arrange it a bit nearer your actual birthday next time.
Oh, I'll just tidy up them catalogues. They're all anyhow.
Hey, they sent a military inspection, you know. Or a royal visit.
The less we can give that Mr. Lawrence to find fault with, the better, so far as I'm concerned.
Last customer done, then.
We finally sent them home to their bed, sir.
Use this place as free entertainment, if you ask me.
Free? Sure they buy things, don't they?
You'd be surprised. There were several families in today, and I kept my eye on them. All the children took a free catalogue, the mums bought nothing, and most of the dads bought a packet of radish or turnip seed and a packet of plant ties.
Shall make me fortune that way.
They seem never so interested, though.
Ah, and we have shifted a lot of brassicas.
Those plants have gone quite well, too.
Well, let's hope Mr. Lawrence can give us a few ideas.
But I'll say this for him. He's keen. Giving up the evening of the last bank holiday of the year.
What you mean is, you still think he's got some hidden motive for putting himself out?
Not if you say otherwise.
Ah. There he is, look. Just pulling into the car park. So cheer up, Prue. It isn't the end of the world, you know.
Thank you very much, gents. And there's no extra charge for having it served out here.
Oh, I should hope not.
There's your change.
Oh, toss it.
Here, Dan. Ask Sid what he thinks.
Hey, what about? The youth club?
Oh, I'm getting just a bit too old for that these days. Not much, mind you. Sidney's still a boy at heart.
Walter meant this idea of the youth club finding premises a bit nearer the centre of the village, instead of being stuck out at Nightingale Farm.
Oh, I'd be all for it myself.
So long as them what's underage don't try anything on. Polly and me's very fussy about that.
Well, it's a bit hard to tell how old some of the youngsters is these days.
I can't always make out the he's from the she's myself.
Not to worry, Mr. Archer. They can.
Aye, and do from what I hear.
Oh, now, come off it, Dad. You and me weren't exactly what you might call angels when us was youngsters, now was we? No, but it's the odd rotten apple in the barrel, isn't it? Well, blow me. Talk of the devil.
Was this about rotten apples?
Oh, yes, yes, we was just talking about you.
What do you mean, rotten apple? Me?
Well, yeah, you know, only your fidgetal speech, like.
How are things, Aidan?
Oh, not so bad, you know. Tony about?
He's been in a time or two. Talking to himself, mind me.
Talking to himself?
Yes, he's rehearsing.
Oh? Breaking a speech? Taking part in a play?
No. Rehearsing what he's going to say to you.
Oh, Tubby. I must admit that's one of the reasons I took myself off to Wales last week. I wanted to clear my thoughts a bit.
I take it you lot are talking about the same thing.
Oh, yes, indeed. This chance Tony's got of taking British Farm.
Oh, excuse me. Wanted in the bar, I think. I'm just on my way, Tony.
Unless you wanted a drink out there.
No, the bar's fine.
Bring me a pint out, will you, Sid?
Yeah, right, I'll be out in a minute.
I just fancy a game of balls, haven't you? One of these gentlemen will join me.
No, don't mind if I do, Aidan.
In a game, I meant.
Not me, I'm afraid, Aidan. My back still doesn't take kindly to a lot of bending about.
I have to be a bit careful.
Under the thanks, Sid. And
getting me out of that.
Half a bitter, is it?
I'll make it a pint, just in case Hayden decides to come in.
Huh? You, scared?
Well, I wouldn't say scared, exactly. It's just that I keep putting off the evil hour when I have to discuss dissolving the partnership with Hayden. I'm not looking forward to it.
Business is business, though.
Well, tell Hayden, not me.
Well, what I mean is, well, blood's thicker than water.
And the rolling stone gathers no moss. What is this, a corny cliché competition?
Oh, what I'm trying to say is, can't you separate the business side from the family side, that's all.
Easier said than done.
Yeah, and there's another corny cliché.
Yes, sorry. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, and there's another. Not so worried. Here's your beer.
Thanks, sir. What on earth?
Oh, let's have a look through the back door. Oh, no. There's another of them garden chairs collapsed. And with water on it.
What?
I'll have to get around to the garden centre and have a deco at them plastic ones. Tom's been on about.
Am I ready for me bed?
Oh, been a day and a half and no mistake.
Oh, if every day's takings were like that, Mr. Woolley'd have nothing to worry about.
And no need to call in the Bob Lawrences of this world.
Oh, I must say he seemed very pleasant.
That's all part of the act.
Act? Oh, move over, Tom. You got over half the bed.
Oh, sorry, love. How's that?
Oh, that's a bit better. What do you mean, all part of the act?
Well, they lulled you into a sense of false security, these folks.
Oh, I got the impression you couldn't find anything wrong with the way we was running the centre.
That's the impression he wanted you to get.
Now, what reason have you got for saying a thing like that?
Because I didn't like the way he said nothing.
Eh?
Said he wanted to sleep on it and think things over before he said anything.
Oh, I thought that was reasonable.
I thought it was, what's the word? Ominous.
Oh, you're imagining things.
Oh, you reckon so? Well, we'll see.
But after what Mr. Woolley said to me, I think we should welcome Mr. Lawrence's suggestions, if he makes any.
Welcome them?
Of course. Mr. Woolley's given us till Christmas to get the garden centre really making a decent profit.
That tells you a lot too, doesn't it? The worst half of the year. The busy season's from Easter to round about now.
Oh, he knows that. All he wants to see is new ideas and a bit of an increase in profit. I think we should welcome any suggestions that make sense, no matter where they come from. Even from Mr. Bob Lawrence. That's what I think.
Oh, hello, Richard. Didn't recognise you.
I'm afraid my old banger's gone to the old Croc's happy hunting ground.
Finally packed up, did it?
As a matter of fact, it was sent packing by Jack Woolley. Anyway,
I say, are you in pain?
I keep forgetting. I was a bit too enthusiastic at cricket practice, and I've rather punished my bowling arm.
All in a good cause, I suppose.
Yeah, it helps the wheels of village life go round, I'm sure.
Is it very painful?
Only when I lean on it, which I keep doing. Doesn't stop me driving, though.
It looks very handy.
Oh, it's marvellous. But after our old car, almost luxurious. How's David? Got over his disappointment with his A-level?
Hard to tell. Phil and I don't quite agree about him at the moment. Phil says he's being defeatist and lackadaisical. I think he's rather shocked and shaken, and his confidence has taken a knock.
He's got all the incentive in the world, though.
He's been dead keen on coming into farming for as long as I can remember. But Michelle didn't exactly help last week.
Michelle? Are they friends now or something?
I think poor David was smitten. But he had a misunderstanding with Phil about some tractor work, and then Michelle was a bit offhand with him, and I'm afraid he's taken it to heart. Certainly he and Phil are keeping out of each other's way.
Pity. Anything I can do?
I think it's best left to sort itself out. Phil's mum wanted to have a word with him, but I nipped that in the bud. At least I hope I did. That might be faithful.
That you, Betty?
No, I don't use your answer to that name.
Oh, Hayden.
Were you expecting Betty Tucker or something?
Betty Tucker?
Ah, wait now, there's a milk decanter girl called Betty too, isn't there?
She prefers to be called Libby, as a matter of fact.
Ah, yes, I know quite a few Elizabeths. And there are just as many who are called Libby as Betty.
Yes.
But surely, she's in due for a week or two, is she? Once a month, isn't it?
Yes, well, sort of. I'm glad you called round. I wanted to see you.
I won't pretend to be surprised.
But what with one thing and another, and you being away in Wales...
I wanted to see how Alwyn was for myself.
Pat said on the phone she thought she was a bit better.
Well, she certainly seemed a bit brighter. I think having Pat there has taken her mind off herself if you follow me.
Yes, something in that.
Yes, she's been quite poorly, of course.
Yes.
Yes.
Anyway, I thought... sorry, off you.
No. What were you going to say?
Well, I dare say you've heard about Bridge Farm.
Yes, indeed. Poor Mrs. Elliot. She'd be glad when they can get everything together and have that sorted.
No, I didn't mean that.
Very sad, that business. Conscientious man, Jim Elliot, from what I've heard.
You know that Ralph's given me the chance at Bridge Farm, if I can raise the cash.
And you're tempted, of course.
Well, yes. But it's bigger, isn't it? And let's face it, more security for us.
Pat said that.
Oh. She discussed it with you, did she?
She mentioned it, yes.
So, you know what's worrying me then, don't you?
Tell me.
Well, isn't it obvious? We have a partnership agreement.
Which was carefully drawn up so that neither side could withdraw, given adequate safeguards like sufficient notice of termination, compensation, so on.
Compensation?
Well, you know these legal documents. They cover every eventuality.
Yes, but I never thought of any question.
You didn't think, eh? Well, Tony, I'm fond of you just as I'm fond of Pat and little John. And I've no doubt we'll be able to come to some satisfactory arrangement in due course. But there is just one thing I'd like you to think about.
Huh?
And that is, what do I do?
You?
Yes. You're only seeing things from your point of view at the moment, which is perfectly understandable. But spare a thought for me in between times, won't you? If we dissolve our partnership and you move out of Willow Farm, what am I supposed to do? Sell up? Move? Neither of my boys want the place. So, what am I to do? Any suggestions?
There now, Doris. That wasn't too painful, was it?
Painful?
Ah, come off it. I know you always regard seeing me as being worse than going to the dentist.
Oh, Laura, I don't.
I often get quite a bit of harmless amusement, wondering what excuse you'll put up next when I ask you.
I'm not as bad as that, surely.
Life's too short, love.
Love? Since when have you called me love?
Since now. It's one of my middle-of-the-year resolutions.
Middle of the year? You're a bit late, aren't you?
Ah, that's the Doris we all know and love. Who's bothered if I'm the odd month or two out? You want to take life as it comes, Doris. Not be such a sober side.
I'm sure no one could ever call me that.
Eat, drink, and be merry.
And put pounds on. There's ever such a lot of calories in alcohol, you know.
Ah, see what I mean?
I've got to say it, Laura. I just don't understand you. Never have. If I hadn't been sitting here having tea with you this last hour or so, I'd swear you'd been drinking.
Well, you saw for yourself. It was tea in me teapot, not gin. Like that old faggot and Dickens, who filled the pot with gin and put it to her lips whenever she felt so disposed.
That wasn't a teapot, it was a bottle.
There you go again. Who cares if it was a 25 drum?
Full of gin? You must be joking.
I give up. I'm so Doris, I give up.
Now what have I said?
Nothing.
I must say, you seem full of the joys of spring these days, Laura.
Why not? Oh, I get the screws, something chronic, and the old ticker plays me up sometimes. But who cares? Laugh, and the world laughs with you. Tell folks your troubles, and you don't see them for dust. The people, I mean, not the troubles.
Oh, well, thank you for a very nice tea. I think I'd better be going.
Oh, must you? We haven't really had a good old gossip yet.
Is that what you asked me round for?
Of course not. Hey, has your Phil come to his senses?
Come to his senses? What about?
Going on at young David for failing his exam. Making trouble for himself there.
Oh, that. Well, I don't think he understands how sensitive our David is. I asked Jim if I should have a quiet word with him about it, but...
Never.
I beg your pardon?
Worst thing you could possibly do, that's
it. Oh, you think so, do you?
I'm sure of it. Phil's got the archer streak. He'd dig his toes in if he thought you were criticising the way he brings his kids up.
Well, give me credit for a bit of common sense. I choose my words very carefully.
Asking for trouble, that'd be.
Oh, it would it? Well, I don't agree. But Jill asked me not to say anything, so of course I won't.
Evening, light of my life. Oh, good evening, Mrs. Archer.
Light of my life?
Oh, just acting a fool. We tease one another unmercifully, don't we, Laura?
Careful, Freddy. Doris might get the wrong impression.
I wish you had a better opinion of me, Laura.
What? I think you and Dan are the salt of the earth.
Ah, yes. Talking of Dan, he's at the front door waiting in your limousine.
There now. I said it was time I was off.
Now, let me help
you. Oh, sorry.
Come on, upstairs.
I'll see you to the door.
No need. I can manage. And thanks again for a lovely tea, Laura.
Quite a cook, isn't she, Mrs. Archer?
Freddy.
Ow! Not a patch on you, of course. You're the queen of Ambridge in
that
respect.
Oh, I wouldn't say that anymore. Once upon a time, perhaps, but... Ah, there he is, dead on time. Just coming, love. Bye, Laura.
Bye, Doris. Don't make it so long till you come again.
Oh, no, you'll have to have tea with me first, I'm afraid. I mean, well, fair dues.
Ah, independent to the last. Bye-bye, Doris.
Bye.
Bye, Mrs. Archer. Ah. Successful teapotty?
Oh, I'm not sure. I was rather hoping you'd get home a bit earlier.
Yeah, I'm afraid Caroline Lumley kept me talking to you.
Oh, yes?
Well, you know who I mean. I think I've mentioned her before.
You have? Your croquet lady. Retired headmistress.
That's the gal.
Gal?
Oh, not to worry. She's 70 if she's a day.
Let's keep age out of it.
Hmm? Out of what?
I've been glad of your help overseas. Doris can be hard going, you know.
She's the easiest person in the world.
She's never really liked me. It was the happiest day of her life when Frank decided to emigrate and take me to New Zealand.
I'm sure you're much too hard on her.
Oh, you are you? Oh, she's got a fan, I see.
I say, you're not put out, are you? I couldn't get back any earlier, really.
I'm sure this Miss Lumley's far more important.
I believe you're jealous.
Rubbish.
You ought to meet her. You'd soon change your tune.
I've no desire to meet her whatsoever. Invite her to supper.
I beg your pardon?
Invite her to supper. What's wrong with tomorrow night? Or does she live a mad social life?
I think she's rather lonely. As a matter of fact, she was trying to get me to have dinner with her tomorrow night. I declined, of course, knowing you've got that leg of lamb.
Right then, ring her up. Invite her. I'll give her the once-over.
The once-over? Why?
Never you mind. For all I know, she's a figment of your imagination. Very handy as an excuse when you want to avoid spending time with me.
I'd never want to do that.
Are you men all the same?
All right, if you insist, I'll give her a buzz and see if she's free. But she exists, all right, believe me.
Hello, Tony. Do my eyes deceive me?
Oh, evening, Mr. Woolley. What do you mean?
That's never Brian Aldridge on that huge harvester, is it?
Yes, it is.
In the old days, half the village had turned out to harvest that corn. Now the one machine does the lot.
Terrific sense of power you get, you know, driving one of them. They can get bogged down on wet, heavy land, though. Not to mention Uncle Tom's views.
He never did like anything that got rid of hedges, did he?
There's no doubt about it. There's much less shelter for wildlife now than 20 years ago. But at the same time, there aren't many industries that can rival farming for productivity.
All right, I'm not a public meeting.
But it gets me down sometimes when I hear people talking of farmers as if they were all like Joe Grundy.
There aren't many like him left, thank goodness.
If a farmer's not really go-ahead these days, he's useless. Oh, good. Brian's seen me.
Want me, Tony?
Yes, sir. Any chance of a chat a bit later? Can I come round to Home Farm?
Well, make it a bull in, 40 minutes or so. We've almost finished here.
Right. See you there, then. Bye.
Bye.
That sounds as if Jennifer's otherwise engaged.
Unless they've had a row. She's been in a funny mood lately.
There could be a simple explanation for that. When's her baby due?
Oh, you think that's it? Well, end of next month, isn't it? Something like that, anyway.
Anyway, Sidney, like I told Prue, Mr. Woolley can do what he likes with his garden centre. I'm losing no sleep over it.
And those dark rings under your eyes are just moonshine, are they?
What dark rings? It's just because you're standing with your back to the light.
Would you say the same about me, Sid?
Why? You got problems. I thought the future was full of bridge farm promise.
Well, milking parlours don't grow on trees, you know.
Hey, they'd look pretty rum if they did. You know, what's your missus say about the idea?
Oh, she's with me 100%. Even though I've got to get out of my agreement with her uncle.
He wouldn't stand in your way, surely.
Oh, I'm sure he wouldn't. But I've got round to discussing it with him at last, and he made me feel a bit selfish.
Got uppish, did he?
Oh, no. It was very reasonable, which made it twice as bad, of course.
And what makes you selfish, then?
Because I hadn't thought out what he will do when Pat and I move out.
There's no problem about letting a farm these days, surely. Or he could put a manager in her, take another partner like you. Or even sell the house and let somebody else take the land. Brian Aldridge, for example.
Who's taking my name in
vain?
Now then, what's everybody drinking? I've got a real harvest thirst, Sid. I'll have a very large pint of the very best, please.
I'm sorry, Mr. Aldridge. There's nothing bigger than our biggest and nothing better than our best. No matter what you see on the telly. But this should do the job.
What about the rest of you? A bit of two?
Oh, thanks very much. Just half of that.
I'm on lemonade shandy, thanks, Brian.
Fine?
Oh, you bet. I've got a harvest thirst too.
Get all that, Sid?
Yeah, I'm working on it. There's yours for a start-up.
Oh, thanks. Well, cheers.
Cheers, then.
Cheers, Brian.
Yeah, good health, Mr. Orvey.
There's a swallow that matches up to your combine.
Oh, that's better. One half of bitter.
Thank you.
Now, a pint of shandy.
You sure you want shandy, Tony? Oh, yes, quite sure, thanks. With a bit of luck, Pat will be home soon. Mustn't develop heavy drinking habits.
Okay. Well, how's the world treating everybody?
Oh, same as usual, as far as I'm concerned.
You mean old beer and skittles?
They certainly don't. Problems, problems and more problems.
What about the garden centre?
Oh, no problems at home. One thing about my Prue, she stands by me through thick and thin.
Yeah, and Pat's with me 100%, Brian.
Good.
Here's your shandy, Tony.
Oh, thanks. Cheers, Brian. Cheers.
Well, take it out of that. Have one for yourself, then.
Ah, can't very much. Have a quick half at this stage of the proceeding.
Talking of wives and husbands.
Really?
Yeah, I said Pat's with me and Prue's with Uncle Tom.
And me and Polly goes all the way together. With running this place, I mean, and things like Rose Cottage and that. Well, don't try to tell me you never have any differences of opinion.
Oh, no serious ones. We don't exactly see eye to eye about, or should I say, ear to ear about Lucy playing the recorder, but we haven't come to blows over it.
Ah, not yet, anyhow.
Oh, and there's her mother, of course.
Anyway, what were you going to say, Tony, about wives and husbands?
Eh? Oh, yeah, well, just that I'd bumped into Paul today. Talk about enthusiasm.
Well, he's really taking his fish farming venture seriously.
What I was going to say was that Chris is behind him, too.
Oh, lucky man.
When it comes